Welcome back to Search the Scriptures. This is Gary Hutchins with the Sunny Slope Church of Christ here in Omaha, Nebraska. Great to be back with our listeners once again. So thankful to have this opportunity to be with you to dig deeper into God's Word and learn a little bit more and grow in our faith, because faith comes by hearing the Word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. You know, being in God's Word also helps keep us focused on our relationship with God and upon our spiritual lives. And that's important for us. We need to stay focused. The devil has been very skillful in pulling a whole lot of folks out of focus as to their relationship with God. Being in His Word helps us to stay focused upon Him and our relationship with Him. You know people in your life who need to change, don't you? They need to start thinking about their relationship with God. They need to start growing in their faith. They need to start thinking about their soul's salvation. Tell them about the program, Search the Scriptures. Also, tell them to go to our website at churchofchrist.com, and you do this yourself if you have not done so already, churchofchrist.com. Click on the podcast button and sign up for our podcasting. When they do that, and it's free, it always will be free, they will receive on their smartphone or computer or whatever device they choose this radio program 5 days a week. And they will also receive a whole lot of other Bible teaching and instruction 7 days a week. All of that will come automatically on an ongoing basis, and it will always be free. So tell them, and you do the same. Take advantage of this. Churchofchrist.com. Click on the podcast button and sign up for our podcasting. Also, if you're in the Omaha area, come and be with us in person at the Sunny Slope Church of Christ. We're located at 3606 North 108th Street. 3606 North 108th Street, right here in Omaha. And Bible classes begin at 9:30 on Sunday morning, followed by worship at 10:30. Sunday evening, 6 o'clock, we come back together for another period of worship and Bible study. And then we have midweek Bible classes, Wednesday evenings at 6:30. You're welcome to any and all of these services. We hope to see you soon. We're going to conclude this particular section of our study on anger. Now, we've been talking about heart troubles. And again, not talking about that heart in our chest that pumps blood through our circulatory system all day long, every day, as long as we're living physically. We're talking about problems of the heart from a spiritual perspective. So we've covered quite a number already. And some of these, some people might not really think about as being heart troubles, problems of the heart, but they are. We talked about laziness. We talked about fear, gossip, hatred. And we're studying, we're going to conclude this particular study today on anger. Anger. Anger, as we've said, is the seedbed of hatred. Anger is where is that from which hatred develops. And hatred then becomes, in many cases, violent, and even produces in the lives of a great many people murder. We looked at Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 8, and saw the account of Cain and Abel, the first two sons recorded in the scripture account of Adam and Eve. And because Cain did not offer the proper sacrifice before God in worship to Him, God rejected his sacrifice. Abel did exactly as God had instructed, and God accepted his sacrifice. Cain, having his sacrifice rejected, became very angry, and ultimately he murdered his own brother. Why? It was God who rejected his sacrifice. The Hebrews writer tells us that by faith Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than God. And since faith comes by hearing the Word of God, as we keep emphasizing, Romans 10 and verse 17, God undoubtedly instructed both Cain and Abel as to what he wanted them to sacrifice before him by way of worshiping him. And so Abel did exactly that. He offered of the sheep of his flock. Cain substituted something else, some of the produce of his farm. Well, It was not Abel who rejected Cain's sacrifice. It was God. But Abel, but Cain turned his anger against his own brother, and I suspect that it ultimately became hatred, and he murdered his own brother. What a tragic story. But that's simply the first one in recorded history, isn't it? Because it has happened over and over and over again. Sometimes murder against a family member, sometimes murder against a supposed friend, but many times murder against somebody we work with, somebody, a neighbor perhaps, somebody who does something that we take exception to, and we become violent, and ultimately we murder them. Well, how sad. Anger is that seedbed. And then left uncontrolled, it develops into hatred. And hatred left uncontrolled often develops into violence and even murder. Well, we were asking the question as we closed last time, how can we diffuse, how can we overcome, how can we guard against anger? It's so deadly for us individually, let alone for how it might motivate us, you know, through uncontrolled emotions to bring harm and danger to somebody else. Well, we've looked at a whole lot of scriptures. And ultimately, we came down to the point where we need to replace anger with love. Now, that's going to be an exercise in self-discipline, but we need to replace anger with love. Love will diffuse anger. Love will overcome anger. It'll guard against anger developing in our hearts and abiding in our hearts. We've got to put it out of our heart. We should pray for self-control, to be slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Anger does not produce, anger uncontrolled, anger that is allowed to abide within our hearts, that is to continue to live and grow and develop and get worse and worse, and ultimately become hatred if we're not careful. Anger is counterproductive to godliness. And so James writes, be slow to wrath, anger, for wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Anger is counterproductive, this kind of anger that is left in our heart, left to abide, left to fester and so on, that's counterproductive to godliness, to the righteousness of God. The psalmist wrote, be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. In other words, think about it, put it aside. Again, I've asked the question, have you ever tried to go to bed at night and fall asleep angry? Difficult to fall asleep, isn't it? Difficult to have restful, peaceful sleep, isn't it? Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. Psalm 37 in verse 8. God is our ultimate standard and example. The psalmist stated, his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Psalm 30 in verse 5. Are there occasions, situations, when anger is understandable? And perhaps even, to some degree at least, proper? Yes. Now, we'd have to really stop and think about those kinds of situations. But yes. But we're told, deal with it quickly, keep it under control, and then put it out of your heart. In fact, as we read from the Apostle Paul, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. So deal with it effectively, in a godly fashion, a responsible way, and put it out of your heart. Set it aside. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in mercy. Psalm 103 and verse 8. Note these encouraging words of God written down for us by Isaiah the prophet. For a mere moment I have forsaken you, but with great mercies I will gather you. With a little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment, God speaking, but with everlasting kindness I will have mercy on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. Isaiah 54, verses 7 and 8. How God loves us, and how, even in the face of our ungodly behavior at times, God still is patient with us. The Apostle Peter wrote in 2 Peter 3 and verse 9 that God is long-suffering toward us. That's the idea of patience. And is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Again, 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. Well, how about if we exhibit that kind of patience with those around us who might provoke us from time to time to anger? But we don't want them to remain in that kind of counterproductive lifestyle toward us or mindset toward us. And we certainly do not want to take that kind of counterproductive and ungodly mindset and lifestyle in regards to them. So how about if we, okay, if it is proper for us to suffer some or to experience some righteous indignation, so to speak, let's deal with it quickly, take care of it in a godly fashion, and then put it out of our heart. And we can be a great example to those people. There is such a thing as righteous indignation, but such is a far cry from the abiding, uncontrolled anger of which we have been reading in these many passages of Scripture. Many people nurture the anger that develops within themselves. It becomes a part of them. They dwell upon it, and as such, it is destructive to their happiness and to their physical, emotional, and psychological well-being. Left unchecked, it can ultimately bring about their eternal condemnation, and that's the worst of all. The reader is left to wonder the ultimate fate of the older brother of the prodigal son. While his younger brother left home, wasted his portion of his father's inheritance through frivolous living, but then came home in repentance, not asking to be counted as a son any longer, but simply to be given a place as a servant in his father's household. But the father would have none of that. He simply hugged him. He had clean clothes put on his body, new shoes put on his feet, put a ring on his finger, and had a feast prepared. But the older brother, he had stayed home. He had faithfully served his father when the younger brother carelessly, frivolously went off and spent his inheritance. But when his younger brother came home and repented before their father, and their father commanded that the fatted calf be killed and the household rejoice, the older brother was angry and would not even go into the house. The words that he spoke to his father demonstrate his anger and seem calculated to rebuke and even hurt his father. Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. He challenged his father. You won't even give us a calf or, you know, let us have a feast for my friends. But here, this son of yours, he has gone off. And through riotous living, through frivolous living, through sinful lifestyle, wasted all of the inheritance that you gave him. And now he comes back, and you accept him back with open arms, and you throw a feast for him. And the older brother would not even go to his into the house. One hopes that the older brother ultimately came to himself, as his younger brother, in a state of destitution, after having lived that ungodly lifestyle and wasting all of his inheritance, the scripture text says that he came to himself and came to repentance. One hopes that the older brother eventually came to himself, recognized his sin, and repented, as his younger brother had already done. We need to not live in such a way that anger will be our bedfellow, that anger will be the director of our lives, that anger will be the reason when we lie on our deathbed and breathe our last that we go to the grave to meet our Lord at the judgment seat and hear the words, "Depart from me," because we let anger overcome us. We let anger destroy our spiritual life. I ask these questions again, as we did early on in this particular study. Now that we have gone through this particular study, I want to ask you again. Take a few moments to think on these questions from your personal perspective. Don't think about them from the perspective of somebody else in your life who you think needs to change their life, the way they live, their anger, but think about it from your personal perspective, as these questions might apply to you. Maybe not all of them, but maybe one or two or more. Be honest with yourself, because God already knows the answer. Do you have a problem with anger in your life? Do you? To just in a knee-jerk kind of reaction say, "Nope, nope," when you do, that does no good. To deny the truth does not change the truth of the matter. Does your anger sometimes get out of control? I heard the true story one time about a young couple. They got into a big argument, apparently, and in anger, the young husband lashed out and struck his young wife physically. Now, you would think that probably he would have shrunk back from that in sorrow and repentance and apologized. But instead, his anger was so out of control that he accused her of making him hit her in anger. And then his anger was such that he beat her up. Does that make any sense? But it's a true story. And how many times do people find themselves in similar situations? Does your anger sometimes get out of control, as exhibited in your behavior when you're angry? Do you have problems controlling your tongue when you get angry? Or do you start saying hateful things, mean-spirited things, starting to say things that are insulting to that person you're angry with, calling them names and using vulgarity and profanity and maybe even lashing out in profane ways as you use God's name in anger? Have you ever done anything in anger? Have you ever done anything in anger for which you were later ashamed? Have you ever verbally hurt somebody through your angry words? And if you did, was there a feeling of satisfaction in your mind at having done so? Have you ever physically hurt someone through anger? As I described that young husband had done to his young wife, and yet, if you asked him after he had finished beating her up in response to his anger, uncontrolled, "Do you love her?" Undoubtedly, without a question, he would have said yes. But of course, his anger, from a physical, natural perspective, would have said otherwise. But certainly he loved his wife. But he did not show it when he lost control through anger. Have you experienced relational problems due to anger? I would suggest to you that in almost every case of marriages falling apart, of marriages ending in divorce, anger is at the center of the problem between the spouses? And have you ever been in legal trouble due to anger? If we could eliminate anger as the source of provocation that resulted in incarceration, we could probably largely empty the jails across the country. What we see going on in our country right now, in our culture, the hatred that has been generated through anger, because people don't agree with one another, simply as that. They simply don't disagree, they don't agree with each other over different issues. This ultimately is self-destructive to our nation, to our culture. People who are always angry with one another cannot work together productively and consistently. We need to turn to God again. We need to incorporate godliness into our cultural mindset. Instead of God snapping his fingers, so to speak, and destroying humanity, he sent his son into the world to die, to pay the price for the sins of humanity, that we could be forgiven and saved and be with him forever in heaven. Heart troubles, anger. Let's pray. Father, help us to learn the lessons from your word, from life experiences, that anger is counterproductive. Help us to overcome it with love. Help us, Father, to be on guard against anger and to stand on guard against it, to recognize it when it starts to build within us, and then to respond in righteousness, to quickly deal with it, to control it, and to put it out of our hearts, and to never let it grow within us. Help us to be the example to others. Please forgive us, gracious Father, and hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.